Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Tonight, Star Trek Discovery Season 2, Episode 12, we will walk through the Valley of the Shadow of Death and realize that the future is not so bright. We probably shouldn't wear shades. Star Trek Discovery After Show starts, wait for it, now!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my goodness, it is indeed the Star Trek Discovery After Show. It's the whole gang! We're all here for the first time ever, just in time for the show to end in a couple weeks. Or just for the season finale. I am Christian Blatt, and for those watching on the screen, you will see that to my left, your right, Flobo.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Flobo Boys in the mix.
Yes, in the mix and in the chat.
In the chat
so
as well.
If you want to have constructive comments about the episode and what you thought and not just flirt with Flobo, please. Now, there'll be time to flirt with Flobo a little bit later
of
in the
course.
Show. Nikki, I know this is not your first show here, but I wasn't here last week. So welcome to the show again. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And way down at the far end of the desk, a man who needs no introduction.
That's
so,
right.
Frank Bray.
No, please, let's continue.
All right, there's a lot to digest after 46 scorching minutes of... I don't know why it's not an hour and 1 hour and 1 minute every week. Like, what are they saving, you know, here? I don't know why it was 46 minutes, but the worst was the 39-minute episode. I'm done now. So let's just go around and see what everybody thought. Despite my reputation, I'm nothing if not chivalrous. Nikki, what were your thoughts on the episode?
Oh, hello, 21st century.
That's right.
I was not pleased to see Klingons again. I thought that we were going to let them go for the rest of the season,
there were zero Takuvmas, which is always a problem. That's always a problem for Flobo. So
yeah,
that's a plus.
Okay, so we'll give them that at least. but it was an interesting journey. Interesting to see Control expanding its reach.
Yes, I think that it's getting a little bit scarier over there, and I've seen some interesting theories about what Control might become in the far future. I don't know if you guys have talked about that on this show. Mm-hmm. Did you guys talk about it last week when
yes.
I wasn't here because I didn't watch the show?
Thanks.
Well,
thanks for that.
Glad
thanks.
We're doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was there.
I intended to, but then I ended up on the Twilight Zone After Show, which for right now is Mondays at 10 o'clock here on AfterBuzz TV. But the show's also on...
Well, you don't show up to this show, you plug another one?
No. I had to watch two episodes of the Twilight Zone.
Got it.
There's only so much time. I only have like 4 hours a week to watch television.
Wow.
So it's because I have two kids. Frank?
Yes, sir.
So I guess I don't get to talk about that theory because you guys already talked about it. All right,
no,
so what do you guys think? Do you think the possibility that Control doesn't actually get defeated, but they evolve and become the Borg?
We talked about that, and
yeah.
Briefly, I would dislike that idea severely because I feel like it makes the universe too small.
I think that that's right, but I kind of would like to see the Borg because I think that they're cool. But you're right. No, you're absolutely right. But then if they do it, you know, it's like, are they determined to do it? You know, it's like, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch is the least con human being on the planet. But he's con, so let me see what they're doing with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you enjoy it, though, when they did it with Enterprise?
Not really. But that has more to do with Enterprise than it does about
all
the
right.
Borg. I mean, if Enterprise can't even do the Mirror Universe right, what does that tell you? and Nikki, your thoughts about the idea that Control could become the Borg.
So when we first floated that theory last week,
yeah,
absolutely disgusted by the notion.
Yeah.
Just why? But then this week, Control said to Burnham while he was trying to get in that, the nano things in her eye.
Yeah.
He said, there's only one outcome. And I was like, ooh, what if that's like the first draft of Resistance is Futile?
Yeah, like they floated it out there, you know? And they were just like, no, that doesn't really work, you know?
Needs to be catchier.
Yeah.
General Order 1.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, exactly. You know, it's like, hasta la vista, padre. No, wait. Let's try it again. And Flobo, it's not that I don't think you're allowed to have an opinion about the Borg, but you're just not familiar with that. Did you see Star Trek First Contact? That would be the one place where I think you would have seen it.
No, but I mean, I'm familiar with Seven of Nine. She's kind of Borgish, huh?
I mean, she is a Borg.
Yeah, so.
She's Borgish.
We're gonna get off the topic here. My mom's not the funniest person in the world, but great joke from my mom. When they introduced Seven of Nine on Voyager, she looked at her and said, well, I can see two implants they didn't get rid of. So, anyway. Not my favorite character, by the way. Not my favorite Star Trek show, and definitely not my favorite character. But anyway. So what do you think about this idea? Do you think that would be... Do you like the idea that maybe it makes the universe smaller? Because to you, it's a very big, you know, almost 800-episode universe for you to have to put your... I'm counting the animated series, both seasons. So do you find that appealing? Perhaps
I was kind of the opposite because I was all about control being proto Borg. Because again, this would be my on ramp to the whole mythology and all that stuff. But the more I'm seeing about it, like, why not make it its own thing? Why not give it its own little, like, Discovery esque kind of bubble? You
know? But if it's its own thing, doesn't that become the problem that we've always had with this show, Frank? What happens to them and why do we never see them again?
Right.
Absolutely. Like,
yeah. Mm. So, is that sort of one of the ways in which this show is limited, is that it has to ultimately end up being something we know.
Because it's not like Giorgio coming in from the mirror universe. You can compartmentalize that and say, oh, it's Section 31. They don't share any information with anybody else. So other than the people that are on the Discovery crew, really nobody else knows. Mm-hmm. But if you do the Borg, I mean, why would anybody hide that information from what would be a considerable threat?
So the only way I feel like it works is if they go off into the future to become the Borg and, you know, no one in our crew sees that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They send the data in, not Brent Spiner, but they send the information into the future and, you know, and also control and everything goes after it and then they figure it out. So
there you go.
You know, not as powerful as they could be in the present timeline. But anyway, let us know what you think about that. I'm sure people did last week, but that's my fault for not being here. So that's 10 demerits against myself. Let's get back to this week on Star Trek Discovery, as opposed to last week on the Star Trek Discovery After Show. What stood out for you, Frank, in this episode?
Oh, come on. I think we all, yeah. Yes.
That's why I didn't go to you first. Also because I wanted to, you know, give him. Yeah. So go ahead.
Sure. I mean, it is just seeing what happens to Captain Pike, seeing his future.
Yeah.
Very cool to see that. I mean, it took the thought of the table, like, oh, are they going to do this at the very last episode? And tee that up. So I'm glad that they just showed us the possible future of what's going to happen to Captain Pike. Or not the possible. It will be a certain future now that he took the time crystal. He solidified that.
Yeah, but, you know, when you deal with time travel, there's always workarounds. So it's like, that's definitely your future. Or you could go for a spacewalk without a helmet, and then that's not your future. You can kill yourself and make that not your future.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always the, well, it's predetermined. That's what's going to happen. It doesn't have to be what happens. He decides to drown himself. You know, I mean, there's so many different ways out of it. So I always feel like, do you think in that moment, Pike's like, I have to deal with the fact that this is inevitable for me. But do you think he's like, yeah, but there's always a chance that I'll figure out a way around it?
I mean, I guess if you heard from this Klingon who seems to know the rules of these time crystals, you have to take what he says at face value.
Yeah.
But I also think that Pike is somebody that, you know, as he's trying to convince himself, like, what do I do in this moment? We're talking about service and loyalty and helping others and love, that he would still keep doing things and not use the alternative, like, I will put myself in a situation where I would kill myself, take that spacewalk, you know, drown myself. I would still keep doing the things I do, knowing that it's going to lead to this point.
Nikki, do you think that you should take at face value the word of someone who only 2 months ago was a baby? Because I'm just like, really? You're a know-it-all now?
Yeah.
You know, I think that he needs to consider it as a highly probable future.
Yes. Oh, it's very like. Well, I mean, it's established,
right?
You know, if Frank and I say it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fact that in his future he looked like a portable room air conditioner with a wax head like that. That was like.
I think that was some kind of like nightmarish version of it because yeah, I thought it was like really cool. I'm like, wait, why is his face melting?
Right.
Yeah. You know, like yeah, what happened? Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
By that same, I think it would have been much better is if they should have just steered in to just making it an exact replica of what it looked like on the Enterprise episode.
Why make it a replica? Just repurpose the footage.
Yes.
And you know, like put it on the bridge of the Discovery. You know. You can, I mean, look, they did that Trouble with Tribbles episode of Deep Space Nine, and that was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So they could definitely have figured out a way to do that. But, as with everything, they want to spruce it up a little bit, make it look a little cooler. What do you think about, you know, this is obviously not your familiarity with the Christopher Pike character. When you see that's kind of inevitable for him, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he took it to heart. I mean, he freaked out, stepped back, he turned somber the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
And even at the end when they are discussing what to do next, it was almost a point of, like, fear. So I'm sure there's going to be that thought of that stage of grief of, like, how could I bargain or how can I get out of this? But for now, it's totally shock of seeing your own face melt. I mean, what do you do to that?
Drink. Heavily. I mean, I don't know what else.
Right.
Frank, is it established that there's Tranya in this part in the timeline, or is it going to have to be a little while?
It might be a little
They're
while.
Have to find Clint Howard.
That's right.
Okay.
but I also think we saw little snippets in the next week's coming attractions where Pike is really gung-ho on this battle plan.
Yeah.
And you can see, knowing what his future lies, that he has this confidence that something like that would succeed because he goes, well, I know I'm not dying here. So this is going to work.
Well, I mean, that is a good point, that he knows that his fate's going to be a little bit later. And, you know, he doesn't know, you know, how things end up for him, you know. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they play that out. All indications is that, you know, Anson Mount as Christopher Pike is only on this season.
Yeah.
That he will not be back next season.
So sad.
I agree, by the way. I like the idea, and we got a hint of it. Flobo, the three of us were watching it together. We didn't invite Frank because, let's be honest, would you invite Frank?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I mean.
But the three of us were watching, and there was a moment where, you know, Saru addresses the fact that, you know, he's a little bit more in line to be a captain now that he isn't terrified of his own shadow, basically.
Sure.
Do you feel like they're setting us up for Captain Saru?
It'd be well deserved if that's the case. I mean, he's a new post-gang. I always call it hashtag gangly gang, right? After his Bahrai, he's been a different person and definitely more able to open to new personalities and things and shows courageousness. I think he's due, but he's kind of been the also-ran also. I kind of feel to make that work, you would have to have another captain step in and have that captain fall from grace. Well, and is being like, oh, he's gone. Well, you want to do it? You know what I mean? I feel like that won't be his ascension.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this on the show, that I think whomever is the captain in season three, I would like to be the captain for the rest of the series, or at least for two consecutive seasons. Let's be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Nikki, the idea that Saru could be captain by the end of the season or beginning of next season?
I'm all about it. I think it would be great. I love that we've seen him on this journey. I love that he's coming into this new sort of fearless self. And I think that he's going to need to check a little bit of the recklessness that comes with not having enough fear. So I don't know. I think that it could be cool. I do think that I can't imagine who else, though. So
yeah I mean, Frank, if it's not Saru, I feel like it would have to be an outside character. I mean, there's nobody on the bridge. I mean, they're not going to make Burnham the captain, are they? Because I don't want that.
I wouldn't want that.
No, she ain't ready.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, I think it would probably be the opportunity to take another big name, and hopefully, as you said, it would be at least somebody that would be there for, you know, at least two seasons. That we could get a little run for it. I feel like it would be interesting to see Saru do it, for sure. But I also think, I don't know if enough groundwork has been laid where I could see where Pike could say, oh, I talked to, you know, the Admiral and Vouchy, and I think I couldn't think of anybody else better to take over the ship than you.
Yeah.
Given that the last time we really saw a Pike-Saru interaction, it was him saying, well, what are you doing letting those guys get into a fist fight? there in the 10th Ward. Right. So I don't know if that makes him think that he's Captain Ready yet.
And we also have Tilly in the program. So, like,
whatever, man.
So, like, I could get down with a Captain Tilly. That would be impossible. But, like, oh, my God, wouldn't she be awesome?
I suppose. It's forgot about the last 4 weeks.
She touches that time crystal, and then we see her accelerated through that.
And she becomes badass, you know, alternate Killy.
Yeah, I only want her as captain if she's Killy. Like, I don't want Tilly as captain. As much as I like the character, I want her to be in the training program for like 30 years. Aww. Yeah, just one of those. Yeah. One of those ones is just like, wait, you're still an intern here? What's going on?
Before we talk into the next thing you want to talk about, Christian, I asked you, but if somebody else is an old school Trek fan,
yes,
what was it like for you to see that Pike scene brought to life on screen?
Well, as soon as they mentioned, like, well, you know, if you touch those time crystals and it's like, this one's the past. I'm like, I don't care about that one. This one's the present. Who cares? It's like the future. Yeah, yeah, pick it up. Because I wanted to see what it would look like. Yeah. And so when he's on the bridge, and it's like, oh my God, there's a lot of radiation. I'm like, oh, we're just going to get that part? And it did look cool because, like, you know, the side of his face burns. And I'm like, all right, so we're going to get that part. And then I was glad that they showed us the chair, even though, as Nikki pointed out, it didn't look right. And then it melted. But the fact that they actually gave it to us, I don't know. I think this would have been a very different show that we're doing right here if they didn't show us him in the chair. Mm-hmm. If they showed, like, the chair from behind or something, I would have been like, come on. You made the prop. Let's see it. So, I don't know. I was very excited. I didn't think that we would see that. If we did, it would be the very end of the season. That would be how we see him. But I don't know exactly where this timeline is. Like, I think he ought to have more time on Enterprise before he ends up in that situation. But did that look like the Enterprise or the Discovery? What did that look like to you, to all of you? Since Frank's the one who posed the question, I'll ask you back. Did that look like, because to me that didn't look like that was happening on the Enterprise. I thought he had the blue uniform on.
Because it seemed like from the the computer that was talking, it seemed like, I thought I heard training. So I don't know.
Maybe they said something about a simulation or something.
It may have been.
Anybody in the chat, like, you know, there are people in the chat on another coast who maybe have had the chance to watch it like twice. So please let us know if you heard anything like that. And Flobo is going to keep his eagle eyes on there.
Yeah, for sure.
What did you think, Nikki? Did you think when we saw that little flash forward to the future, where did you think that was? Because to me, it looked like the Discovery.
It didn't look like the Enterprise. I don't think that I actually thought about where it was. I did hear the word simulation at some point, so I don't know that I thought past that, but it wasn't the Enterprise.
Right. So that moment, if it is a simulation, well, then it's like, oh, that's not even actually how it happens, you know? Did you have a thought as to where that might have taken place, Flobo?
I actually did not. I was assuming that it was also a simulation, but I don't think it was on Discovery. So I was like, maybe it was the future on a ship that had to be determined later.
Oh, yeah. And then we're having Beta Artemis is pointing out Pike's accident happened on J-class starship with trainees. So that would set up. It's just, I'm almost positive he had the blue uniform on. But anyway, let's not get too bogged down on that part of it. But yes.
What did he eat that morning before he went out on that training
mission? I think he had a tuna sandwich and coffee.
Well, they didn't mention it, so it's not canon, so forget it, guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's a few things to touch on in the course of the episode. And I guess let's talk about Laurel and Tyler's son, whom was the subject of everybody's favorite episode of season 2, episode 3. I think in other sorts, in other franchises, you've seen this idea that, of time sort of flowing differently. You know, I'm not familiar with seeing it in Star Trek before. Correct me if anyone can think of anything differently. But Flobo, I'll ask you first. What did you think about the reveal that, like, oh, this fully grown, like, adult male is actually the baby Klingon from just a few weeks ago?
Sure. It was kind of a twist. That was a non-twist. Setting up with the flashback of the intro and saying that, you know, our son is out there. I thought there would have been a reveal. But him being there, it was cool. What I guess I appreciated was the fact that they didn't do that whole, like, are you? You are. My gosh. And just kind of went in the ground, hit the ground running there.
I agree. By the way, also worse than that is the, are you? I can't say. I might be. Oh, shut up.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, that would have been
like,
the worst.
It's like, come on. Yeah. Like, we could totally get it. So to their credit, there's a lot of things they've been picking up there. It was an interesting take. Taking me back to that movie Interstellar, you know, like, you know, time's changing on different planets and all that. But they have the extra benefit of the time crystal. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was fine. I'm so glad it wasn't a baby, you know, it wasn't still a baby. So
yeah, I don't think that they fully, I always talk about how this show has such an outstanding budget and that they don't skimp on any costs. And then they go and have that baby puppet and you're just like, come on.
Yeah.
This Klingon baby puppet, you know, probably now available at conventions nationwide, but,
we're gonna make it a thing, man.
I mean, if we could get one for the studio, cut a hole in the desk. Like, Frank's not here this week.
That's right.
What did you think about that reveal, Nikki, that that was their son?
I did not love that.
Okay.
My
challenge. But you seem to have a problem with Klingons in general.
Well, I have a problem with these Klingons. Mm-hmm. And so,
that's so racist.
But they have hair again.
Yeah, I like how they try to explain that, but whatever. I just, I think I had a problem with these Klingons, and then I had a problem with like I don't know. I just, like, they made a point of saying, well, that the reason that they don't use the time crystals is because they understand time as a weapon or whatever. But like, I don't buy it. Like, it just feels. It feels like a leap. I know it's a sci-fi show,
right?
But like, it just felt like a leap.
Would you feel the same way if another race of people had it than the Klingons, or is the fact that there's a time crystal hanging out?
Because the Klingons would use, like, if they had, right? Wouldn't they?
Well, I would think. I think that that's why it's very specific that it's like at a monastery. Like, these aren't your normal.
They're not the normal Klingons.
Right. Yeah. Like, Klingons that you usually see would certainly, you know, be using this for their own ends.
So then we have to like, if these Klingons in this series are not like a particular branch of Klingons, do the other Klingons not know about any of this?
I would assume, yeah, that they don't know about this monastery and maybe the nature of Laurel being the chancellor. She's aware of it. I don't know. Maybe they'll explain that a little bit better over the next couple of weeks. But I don't know. That's sort of my feeling is that, you know, these are sort of like, you know, those kinds of monks, you know, like in the ninja movie where it's like, oh, they're just a bunch of monks. And then, you know, whoever dared enter the monastery ends up dead. So I feel like these are your badass Klingon monks. What did you think about sort of the whole, you know, the whole thing of the monks and the time crystals and the Klingon baby now being a Klingon adult, Frank?
Fine with the baby growing up to an adult, because it's like, all right, if we're going to go back and revisit this, then it's either the baby has become an adult or the baby is, you know, like 9 or 10, but like filled with so much wisdom that they're speaking like, you know, like a wise adult, and you're kind of creeped out by that. So I was like, it's either one of those two options. Yeah. And I was like, fine, doing it with the adult. I feel like the monastery and the time crystals is just like the part of Discovery that does frustrate me, is that you introduce this really cool concept, but then you realize like, well, yeah, this doesn't actually is something that we don't have and any other series going forward into the future. So we can introduce this cool concept, but we also have to immediately, you know, put handcuffs on and say like, yep, but this is why it's never seen anywhere else, because it's on this monastery that's protected.
The fundamental problem with the spore drive, which we talked a lot about on this show last season, is just why does nobody ever talk about the spore drive at any point in the future? You know, even floating it out as an idea, like, oh, if only we could come up with a spore drive. Remember reading about that at the Academy? So it's like, it just never comes up. What's the reason for that? And what's the reason for any of this? Before we move on, somebody has a special message for us. Is it you, Frank?
Oh my gosh, yes, straight from Starfleet Command. Folks, we want to...
No, I'm sorry, interrupting. It's actually from Section 31, so it's even more important.
Ooh. Oh, no. Okay. Folks, stay away from syringes and filled with nanites. That's the biggest thing that we can tell
you. Okay, thanks, Frank.
Okay. But folks, we want to thank you for helping us become the ESPN TV Talk. We also need your help. So we're asking that if you're watching on YouTube, that you like and subscribe. And if you're watching on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you're watching... comment and get involved in the discussion. I mean, Flobo, he's man on that chat like the consummate pro that he is.
Thank you.
Yes, get engaged in that discussion. Flobo wants to interact with you folks.
Yeah. Or get engaged to Flobo.
Yes.
That's by the way, Flobo, you can't swipe right on the chat.
Oh, but I've been trying all day.
No, it doesn't work that way.
There you go. This man's going to be a politician soon, so you want to get in now on the ground
get
floor.
Get on the ground floor, ladies.
Hashtag
come
boys
on.
In the hood.
That's right. But we all appreciate having the opportunity to do these great shows and make these great shows that you enjoy watching as well. So continue to watch us and support us in enjoying our shows.
Thank you, Frank. So let's talk about the actual confrontation with Control, the latest face of Control, which definitely appreciated the flashback to, I think, the first episode of the series, where it's just like, hey, remember this guy? No, I don't. Oh, okay, it's that guy. I still don't remember him, but you showed it to me. And you know what? Burnham looked different there, so I'm going to just assume that that's from that.
Mm-hmm. She had her hair pressed, and it was laying.
Relax in space.
Yeah. Relax.
Well, that's before she did Hard Time, you know?
Right.
So everything was a lot more relaxed back then. So I thought, and we touched on it a little bit in this conversation, but I think the idea that Control is evolving and, you know, not only having to use Leland and the fact that, I don't know, I mean, it seemed to have the ability that had Spock not magnetized the floor, I guess it was, it would have gotten to Burnham. So I'll ask you, Flobo, what did you think about sort of this latest iteration of that? Do you feel like the stakes are continuing to be raised for the adversary that is known as Control, which I still feel like we could use a better name, but we'll just stick with Control.
I think you touched upon it, right? The AI's mission of using Michael as a new host to get favor was reinforced with the fact that Saru was willing to trust her so easily this episode, so I thought that was perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect setup for that. If he were successful, even for an episode, I was willing to ride with that. But you're right, like, some random dude, it could have been anybody. I mean, I feel like the stakes could have been higher had it been someone that was closer. And it kind of ended a bit too easily. I feel like, oh no, magnets. Like, I really wanted to see, like, Michael struggle with that a bit more. But ultimately, I think it was a cool idea from Control and its mission to take over the AI and sphere. So.
I mean, she did have, like, a syringe, like, I don't know. I think they use the metric system on the show. So it's like, you know, what, 2 centimeters from her eye. And she had to do the double barrel phaser action, which I thought was cool. Mm-hmm. And it still almost got her. So, I mean, I wasn't worried. But right. I still, I don't know, I thought it was, I see what you're saying. It was sort of a simple solution. As, you know, anything on a show like this, I feel like the fact that they beat it once that way means that they'll probably try again. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm smarter than that now. Right. So that could be why it was easy enough this time just to sort of save it for a bigger confrontation. Nikki, what did you think about, just this latest escalation in the, Control's attempt to get rid of all sentient life?
Well, it did explain how Control was able to get Leland propped up on the thing with the thing around his head.
Yes.
In last episode, that really bothered me that, like, how did that happen? So it explained, you know, I guess if Control can break down into these little nano things, then that makes sense. I did think the solution was too simple. But I had this moment where I was, like, really afraid that as she was firing at him, at Control, that, and he was, like, absorbing them, that it was gonna, like, adapt, like, Borg-wise. But that made me, and I know we moved away from that already, but do you remember when Leland was fighting and he was Control and he learned Georgia's techniques beforehand, so adapted? I'm just saying.
So you're just saying that you're more convinced that's whether you want it or not,
I don't
you feel
want
like that's
it, but
where
it's
they're
just,
going.
It just felt really like... And so yeah, I don't know. I felt like that was where it was going. Yeah.
Frank, what did you think about the way all this unfolded? And like Nikki, do you think that we're on a crash course for a collision with a Borg cube at some point?
Well, I thought if Burnham had been infected, then it would definitely be like a Locutus moment where, we end up rescuing her by the end of the season. And, we just see Burnham in that big cylinder and then just, reaching out to Saru. Grabbing it.
So you've already written it in your head.
No, there you go.
That's the novel that Frank's got.
That's right. Yep. That's right, guys. I'm going to use my time crystal to head back into that writer's room and make sure, guys, you got your season finale.
Don't worry, I got it.
You're using it now.
Everybody go home. That's Frank's right. Already written it.
Sleep. But also, it was weird because he wanted to use the syringe with the nanites to inject it into Burnham. But then at the end, he is just letting the nanites out of his body flow and attack towards them. So wouldn't that just be simpler? Why do you have to worry about the syringe? Just have those nanites in your body. Well, just
yeah, like, maybe he could have been like bulimic for a second and like.
I mean, I think that it wasn't by choice. It was after he got shot, you know, so repeatedly in the same spot. You know, Burnham using logic there, just you know, like don't spray it. Just you know, get right in there. Maybe that, that's not the most efficient way to do it, but it didn't really have a choice.
But I still don't know why not the face. You know, right. They kept on shooting the chest, and I mean, I guess it is it's nanites floating through there, but I would think they're still using the human body as a template, so why not shoot for the brain, so to speak?
Well, I always assume that if they have any kind of paramilitary training, they always train you to center mass, because it's the widest part of your body. I mean, that was my assumption, but you're right, it should have gone for the head, Daniel style. Right?
At least I liked that they didn't do the, and it almost got her, and then it freezes. At least they stopped a little bit away.
It didn't touch her face, basically. Yeah, that's a great point. It got close, but it didn't actually.
Well, then, I mean, Control does say that, like, that the bodies are rebuilt. So maybe it's not actually, by that point, maybe it's no longer nanotechnology in the bloodstream, but maybe it's just all made of, like, repurposed. I don't know the science.
I mean, no, that's true, because when you see, like, when the body's blown through and you see it stitching itself back together, it's all green or goopy. It's never really, like, you see organs or anything like that coming back together. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, over the course of the next couple of weeks, I think that Control's going to have figured out a lot of these things, you know, and I think it's going to be a lot more. They already figured out how to mask, you know, identifying the fact that it isn't actually the carbon-based life form that you think it is. So it'll be interesting to see. So the episode ends with this idea, this realization by Burnham that's, I'm supposed to be here. It wanted me here. But yeah, let's go back to where all the datasphere is. We'll just go ahead and right back to it. That's all right. They want me there. So they go back. And of course, there are 30 Section 31 ships. Why weren't there 31? It's Section 31. But I would assume that Georgios is like the one ship that wasn't there, if I had to guess. And then they come to the realization, as any good Starfleet captain does, that there are times where you have to blow up the ship. Nikki, do you think they're going to blow up the ship next week?
No.
Yeah, I don't. I think they're going to be ready to do it, but I don't see it happening.
I wondered if maybe Burnham was able to get to that really quickly because part of her wonders if there's a way for her mom to come back and save her.
Right, but I mean, wonder.
She can't, obviously. No, but
does she hold that hope because, you know, her mom disappears, but her mom has an infinite amount of time to then figure out how to get back to this moment right now where Burnham is? You know, it's like, oh, yeah, it took me 40 years, but I did figure out how to do it again, you know? So. I mean, she's probably holding out hope, and then, yeah, it's like, well, maybe mom can bail me out of this. What do you think, Frank? Do you think, Pike's going to be left to no alternative, he's going to have to blow up the Discovery?
I mean, I guess one way you could get away without having the spore drive, or really people talking about it, is you blow up this version of the Discovery, you build another one, and then you just don't build the spore.
Discovery A?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what we could get.
But I felt like not enough time was spent, I felt like, with Burnham realizing, because as they're pursuing this, because she's all on fire to figure out where Leland is, and then she gets duped by Control to go to this location and then possibly get taken over. And even on the way, Spock is saying, anger is the enemy of logic. And I feel like Burnham never really thought, like, wait, I gotta slow my roll, and I gotta try thinking at least two or three steps ahead, because they're certainly thinking way ahead of us. So I felt like she never really had that realization, like, oh yeah, I'm going at this way too recklessly. I gotta calm down and think about my plan a little bit better.
I agree. I feel like she, to her credit or discredit, a lot more human traits have been coming through the Burnham, I guess, with her relationship with Spock this season, that make you go, well, season one Burnham wouldn't do that, you know, or old school Burnham wouldn't do that. And you're right, she does get...
No, old school Burnham would get court-martialed.
Exactly.
So obviously,
she would have gone herself. Yeah, she would have done it. I guess I called it way wrong, because I was in the room watching the trailer, and I was like, well, I guess they're going to surrender. Oh, they're blowing up the ship, and it ends. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's basically what you're thinking is. You thought, like, maybe they are going to blow up the ship, but then you saw the preview for next week, and you're like,
I guess not.
Well... We've been waiting the whole show to talk about it. Let's talk about that preview next week. Hey, Frank.
Yes?
What did we see in that preview for next week?
Christian, we saw the USS Enterprise there.
Wait, the NCC 1701?
That is correct.
Not Dash A?
No.
I know. So if it wasn't already exciting enough to see, you know, Pike in the chair before the face melts, then we see him in the yellow. He's on the bridge of the Enterprise. Enterprise looks really good there. They're going to have to explain how it looks so shabby by where no man has gone before.
Yeah.
because they obviously had upgrades since the cage, and then it went right back down a little bit.
That's right.
They really de-escalated everything. That's what Jim Kirk insists on. Does that have you more excited for next week than, say, you were for previous weeks of the show?
Well, I mean, I absolutely, because we had seen, even though, I mean, the producers had said Enterprise is not going to be that heavily involved, even though we are going to have Spock and we are going to have Pike. So actually to see the Enterprise back is really cool. And to see it in action will be even more awesome. And it is nice to see Pike back over there in the yellows.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Discovery.
I mean, we've been waiting a year and a half for this, Nikki, ever since the end of season one. And like, oh my God, it's the Enterprise!
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, you didn't think we were going to show you the inside, did you? Yeah, it's got to go into dry dock for a little while.
Well, that's because why these episodes have only been like 39 minutes, 43, is because all that money is being used to build the interior of the Enterprise.
Wait a minute. We pitched this a few weeks ago on the show. Do you think when they go to the Enterprise, it's going to be shot-for-shot remake from Star Trek The Motion Picture, and it's going to be the slow pan from the back?
Fast forward.
What do you think, though, the odds are that Spock is in the blues and he shaves his beard going over to the Enterprise?
I think not next week. I think at the end of the season he will be clean-shaven because he'll have, you know, sorted out whatever his anxieties and issues have been this season, and he'll be the Spock that we know and love. Nikki, your thoughts on seeing the Bridge of the Enterprise very quickly, but seeing it in the coming attractions for next week?
I had a moment of... And
that's true. We were there with you. We heard it.
I just want to go back to the Enterprise days. I just want to go back. I don't care how. I just want to get back on the ship.
So you just want? Can we take this entire crew and all of our friends from Discovery and just put them on the Enterprise and Pike's the captain? Or do you?
Yeah, Pike and Captain. Zaddy. Yeah.
Permission to come aboard, sir.
Permission to come aboard. Granted.
Flobo.
So I know how important the Enterprise is to the franchise and to the fan base. From my perspective, I love Discovery. I've been with it for so long. It's the ship to me.
It's your ship.
It's the ship.
Yeah.
But this thing has been teased for so long. It's like the Red Angel for me. It's like, are we going to see this ship or not? Because I'm at my wit's end. It's like, everyone's like, it's so good. It's so shiny. It's amazing. It's broken down. Don't worry. Give it a couple of weeks. And so... I just had the sheer like curiosity of it. I would love to see this ship that everyone loves so much and tells me how superior it is.
Yeah,
unpopular opinion.
I don't disagree on any of that. I'm just very excited to see it. I wanted to ask about one more moment on the show, see what everybody thought of it. Frank, I'll ask you first. The way that Burnham and Spock addressed each other and the okay, brother. All right, sister. It's like, are they finally, do you think they're there yet? Are they finally back to before they were like 10 years old or whatever, whenever their falling out was?
Yeah. I mean, my only thing is either Spock gets an enormous head injury that makes him forget all about Burnham at the end of the season, so that's why we never hear about her again, or every interaction that they've ever had and any other media that we've ever seen Spock going forward happened off camera or off page.
What do you think? How do you feel the Burnham Spock relationship has evolved through season two up to the point where we are right now?
You know, I felt like they did get to a real sibling moment with the brother sister thing. And then after, you know, she actually did a little of frustration. And I feel that way about my brother. So it worked for me in that moment. I do think, though, I mean, I still can't reconcile the fact that Spock has a sister we've never heard of. So, like, to me, it just, like, no matter what they do with their relationship on the show, I'm just always going to be like, where the hell is she coming from? No.
Yeah. It would be like if they did, as it did with, what's her name? In Doctor Who. I forget it. With, if she ever remembers the Doctor, she burns. So that's the Spock. Oh, if she ever remembers that he has a sister.
Donna?
Yeah, Donna. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, right, exactly. So she can't remember. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. and Flippa, what do you think?
The evolution is going inch by inch, week by week, but I love it. It's more and more organic, it seems, for sure.
I wanted to cover it a couple of minutes because our friends, they don't know we're friends, but we're friends with the people at this website, denofgeek.com. They always do great Easter eggs. And so we see the location of Boroth where the monastery is, and it's referenced in an earlier Discovery episode, Point of Light, but also the Next Generation episode, Rightful Heir, in which the monks of Boroth clone the Klingon Messiah, Kalis. In the Next Generation, the monastery is portrayed in high elevation and covered in snow. So those details were clearly on display in this episode. And we did get to see a D7 battle cruiser, which Captain Lorca was kidnapped by one by Laurel in the Choose Your Pain episode. A lot of talk about the time crystals and the Harry Mudd, as someone pointed out in the chat a couple weeks ago when I was saying how stupid the time crystals sound, that Harry Mudd had actually introduced them in there. And of course, they talk about Pike's vision of his future from the menagerie. What they pointed out is something I was trying to figure out earlier. He does have the all gray uniform, which is sort of like a military dress uniform. So that's what he's wearing. It's not the Discovery blue, but I knew it wasn't yellow. I know the difference between blue, bright and dark.
I know colors.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. While I scroll through this, what's happening in the chat? We have to go in 29 seconds, but I'm going to say we have to go in 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, shout out to
I just gave us 2 more minutes.
Yeah, to Bill, Stressfree K, but Artemis, you guys are amazing. I'm just giving them love in the chat. We're talking about the approach to certain aspects that are not mentioned in future or past series, and how we were discussing how they're reconciling with that. You know, like Beta Artemis says about Michael, where she came from, she was adopted, smiley face. You know, Stress VK says she grew up on the original series and still love this new approach to Trek. So we do have a bit of a schism there, it seems, between fans who are saying, hey, how come this is not explained, versus, hey, let's just understand and how much we love the new series. So props to that.
What if we've kind of set the groundwork for what the aesthetic of that time period looks like with Discovery? I mean, it's kind of updated, modernized for 2019. So we see however many more seasons Discovery runs, say two, three, whatever. But now that we've kind of, and we'll see a little bit of the Enterprise next episode, what if 3-4 years from now, after Discovery kind of winds down, they did a original series? Because we're comfortable to the look and aesthetic.
Right.
You can take Ethan Peck, you can still keep him as Spock, and then you recast all the rest of them. We're used to it now with the J.J. Abrams series, seeing other people in those roles. You could have an updated look, and you could still continue it. I think the original series would be better as a series than as films. But I don't know.
Something that we addressed earlier, Den of Geek is asking its readers, was Burnham almost assimilated? Obviously, the needle is very reminiscent of the cutest of Borg from The Best of Both Worlds. There's a lot of indications. There's a lot of road signs up ahead that point to the Borg. And I think whether we want it or not, we're going to see that cube at some point.
Great. We made our own. Where's that?
they do reference the self-destruct protocol, which had come up in the original series, but the actual self-destruct from Star Trek III: The Search for Spock is it'll never sit well with me. That was a sad day to watch the old girl burn up.
You need 3 people though to initiate that self-destruct.
Right, and so they're getting ready to do that, and we'll see how close they get next week. Anyway, thanks to Jonathan the Booth for letting us get those 2 extra minutes in there. But we are out of time. But until next Thursday at 10, and I believe there's two more episodes. We'll let you know if there's more, but I think there's only two more episodes. Until next Thursday, Flobo, where do people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Flobo Boys, on Instagram at Flobito and Flobito.com. But before I go, my ABCD award above me on the Call of Duty goes to Jet Reno, being love doctor out there for a man. Dr. Kluber said, hey, get your head out of your butt. Your man loves you.
Yeah, anyone who's ever planned a wedding, you have to give the DJ a don't playlist. I don't talk about that like it's a crazy person's
it's crazy.
Thing.
I'm a
it's
DJ.
Very
it's
important.
Crazy. It's
you know, totally my no playlist was no Coldplay. Nikki, legitimately. Nikki, where can people find you?
You can find me at @NikkiBailey_ on all the social medias.
And Frank, where can people find you?
If you want.
They do.
Sure. Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And as I mentioned, I also do the Twilight Zone After Show right now. It's Mondays at 10 Pacific. You can find me there and also on Twitter and Instagram, Christian DMZ. That's all the time we have for this week. But until next week, live long and prosper.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.